Mickey, thank you ever so much for joining us here on Cricket World.
Always a pleasure, John.
Now, the Caribbean Premier League 2015 gets underway in June, of course. It'll be your second tournament in charge of the Jamaica Tallowers. How much are you looking forward to it?
Oh, I'm really looking forward to it, John. It's a fantastic tournament. It's getting bigger and bigger and better every year. You know, I was really impressed by the quality last year. The quality of the overseas players this year has gone through the roof. The competition is very, very close. All the teams are very evenly balanced, so it's great to be part of it. It is the biggest party in sport, and the West Indian public really get out there and back it. So it really is a festival of cricket for 6 weeks in the Caribbean.
I mean, pretty much everybody seems to enjoy cricket in the Caribbean. I'm sure you're no different. Do you feel that the CPL has really given the region a bit of a boost?
I do. I really do. And what it has, the region economy-wise has got a big boost. I think the passion for cricket has been given a big boost. But most importantly, and I see some of my role a lot with Jamaica, is really working with their young cricketers to make them all better players. Those young cricketers rub shoulders with international players. We've got the likes of Dan Vittori, Mahela Jayawardena with us. Those young players rub shoulders with them every day, and part of my legacy, I've always said with Jamaica, is when I leave, I want the young Jamaican players to be better cricketers. And I was so excited to see Jermaine Blackwood get 100. You know, I worked with a little bit, you know, and hopefully I played a small role in Jermaine Blackwood's career by working with him for 6 weeks, quite hard, at the last CPL. So, you know, I've always said, you know, coaches, I think the international coaches in the CPL are judged on two things. Yes, you want to win the competition, and coaches will always be judged on that. But we've also got a real responsibility to bring the young West Indian players through.
I think that's a great way of putting it, Mickey. I mean, how much do you enjoy the opportunity to work with greats such as Chris Gayle, Dan Vittori and Mahela Jayawardena this year?
Oh, fantastic. I absolutely adore that, Chris. You know, that's what coaching's all about, you know. I loved my 8 years of international coaching. So for me to get 6 weeks of that again in the Caribbean is fantastic. I just love picking their brains. I love working with them. I love maybe imparting just a little bit of information. And I love seeing them do well. You know, I get a great kick out of that. So I can't wait.
And Vittori's done a little bit of coaching himself, hasn't he, with Bangalore. Is that helpful to have that sort of experience around?
Yes, it is. It definitely. I mean, Daniel's such a level-headed bloke. He's not only a fine cricketer, but he understands the game so well. I mean, him and I would sit up late at night last year in the Caribbean and sit talking about different cricket scenarios, about cricket in general, and It was just so good, and I can't wait to do the same this year with Mahela Jayawardena, who's in the, you know, he's certainly from that same ilk. So, you know, I just think we've got such a nice balance. It's a great time in the Caribbean, and it really is a great spectacle.
And I suppose for me, certainly, I enjoyed watching last year. Taking games all around the region seemed to get a lot of praise. Did that work for you?
You know, last year we had 3 games in Jamaica. This year we've got 4, about 10 games, so which is great. I think taking it to other centres is very good. And a lot of those other centres, mind you, have got teams of their own. So the stadiums are full. The vibe around those stadiums is fantastic, like only the Caribbean can be. So, as I said, it really is the biggest party in sport. It is fantastic. You should try and get out there because it really is worth being part of.
Well, I'll carry on working on that, Mickey. You've got Courtney Walsh on hand as well as part of the sort of squad as a mentor. That must be quite special, particularly for those sort of young Jamaicans in the squad you've talked about.
Sorry, I missed that.
As saying, if you've got the mentors on hand as well, which must be pretty special for the young players, particularly with the West Indian greats.
You know, for us to have, I thoroughly enjoyed having Courtney Walsh around, you know. But I've empowered Courtney this year, you know. I think the mentors just became a bit, they were mentors and they were so good, but they seemed to just be there with no real meaning. So I've really empowered Courtney this year. Courtney's going to come in. He's going to be our bowling coach, and his role is going to be to make us the best depth bowling team in the competition. So he's quite excited about that because that's empowering him in a way that that he really enjoys. You know, he didn't want to be the spare part. He wanted to be there getting his hands dirty. So to have Courtney on board with us is fantastic.
My follow-up to that, Mickey, slightly tongue-in-cheek, was going to be along those lines. I'm guessing he's going to be sticking to the bowling advice and leaving you to do the batting.
You're 100% right. I'll be listening with one ear when Courtney delivers those bowling speeches because they'll be worth listening to.
You've talked about the death bowling there, Mickey. Obviously, Talawa's runners-up last year. What other sort of key factors are you looking at this year to help you try and go one better?
We had a look last year at areas we fell down in, and we certainly fell down in the areas. We always got good starts with the bat, but like most West Indian teams, they all fall down from overs 7 to overs 15, because that's when you've got to do the real batting. And the field spreads, the wickets there were slow and did take a little bit of spin, so it became hard to score through that period. So that was one area we fell down in. So we've looked to address that by getting Mahela Jayawardena and Chris Lynn into our unit, because we found we had so much power at the front with Chris and Chadwick Walton, and so much power at the back end with Andre Russell. We needed to have some guys that could bat through the middle for us. So we've addressed that. And then last year we only had Rusty Tehran from South Africa and Jerome Taylor, who could bowl death for us. And this year we've addressed that by getting Chris Mosantoki in as well. So we've got a lot of death options there. And you know, death is different in the Caribbean because the wickets stick just a little bit. Change of pace becomes so important. So we've got guys now we feel that can do that. So the two areas that I thought we let ourselves down in last year, we've certainly addressed in the auction this year.
Yeah, my final question really on Jamaica was to say, happy with how the draft went, and I think you're going to say yes, absolutely, from what you've just told me there.
Spot on, exactly right, very happy.
One young player in the squad to look out for that some people might not have heard of or know too much about?
The young guy that Jermaine Blackwood is going to continue his development. But then we've got a young batsman by the name of Nkrumah Bonner, I think that's worth having a look out for, and Chadwick Walton, that they probably two of the batsmen I think worth having a look at, and then with the ball, and I know he's slightly older, but I certainly think he's the best spinner in the West Indies at the moment, and that's Nikita Miller. I think Nikita Miller does a great job for us in the CPL. He did a great job for us last year. Him and Dan Vettori bowling in tandem was amazing. And although they're both left-arm spinners, they're so different in so many ways. Dan, he relies more on flight and guile, where Nikita Miller's a genuine turner of the ball. So Nikita Miller, I think, is one that I always get excited about, and I get excited about working with him.
More generally, Mickey, and this is a question we've been asking some of our county cricketers over here with some interesting answers, I might add. Is 2020 cricket becoming a batsman's game?
I think the pendulum's probably swung too far in that fields are smaller and wickets are generally very, very good and bats are so much better. So even the mishits are going for six. Although that I did see in the Caribbean last year, and I challenged our unit to think in a different way, is that if we had the best bowling attack, I think teams with the best bowling attack now are the most successful. People have always said, oh, it's batters, so it just becomes runs versus runs. But teams that with a bowling attack that can mix things up, you intermingle a right armour with a left armour, you take pace off the ball, you use your spinners cleverly. Teams with the... the attack was always called the attack because, you needed to get 20 wickets. But it's become a defence now in 2020 cricket. The teams with the best defence who have the most balance have the best chance of success. So we've hopefully looked at that. So I'm challenging our bowling unit to be the best they can possibly be by being one step ahead of the game all the time. And if they're that, we've got a very, very good chance of winning, irrespective of the amount of runs we score.
And how has the rise of 2020 cricket perhaps influenced your coaching and how you approach the game these days?
Look, it's certainly different. It's a totally different coaching style, I guess. But I'm loving it. You know, it's challenged me. It's certainly taken me out of my comfort zone in terms of coaching, and challenged me again, which I think is so good for the growth of any coach. I love it. I enjoy it. I think cricket can survive with three forms of the game very, very easily. 2020 is the sexy part of it. Test cricket is still the proper part of it. And 50 over cricket has still got a role to play, as we saw with the World Cup.
That's brilliant stuff, Mickey. I'm guessing you're talking about the sexy side of things. You've been keeping an eye on the IPL and how your squad members are going. What have you made of the tournament so far?
Very closely. We don't get it, funny enough, on TV in Australia. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Because of the time zone. So I've been looking at highlights and live streaming. And look, it seems to be a really good competition. I think it's become a... It's starting to get quite close. I'm watching Chris Gayle with one eye because he hasn't played much. I'm waiting to see if his back might be playing up just a little bit. I'm so excited by Andre Russell's form. I think is brilliant. I have watched it closely, and I think it's a great competition.
Who's your tip to win this year?
Ooh, tip to win. The team that I'd love to win is Royal Challengers Bangalore. But I think, and just because I've got an affinity with the team, Daniel Vittori, Chris Gayle, AB de Villiers, Mitchell Starc, so I like them as a unit, but I think I've got a sneaking feeling that you can't look past Chennai Super Kings. They just do it competition within competition all the time. So I think Chennai Super Kings, Calcutta Knight Riders will be at the business end, but I'm hoping Royal Challengers Bangalore can get up somewhere.
Mickey, we've got the CPL coming up, of course. We've just had England's tour of the West Indies. Lots happening in the Caribbean at the moment, including a reasonably big tour for Australia soon. What are your thoughts ahead of that one?
It's going to be an interesting tour. I think the one thing you need to know in the West Indies, the wickets there are flat, so you need to be able to reverse swing the ball. And you need to make sure that your spinners do a lot of bowling, because out-and-out pace doesn't do it in the West Indies anymore. I think the Australian cricket team, and I know I toured the West Indies with Australia, we worked extremely hard on getting the ball to reverse swing. We did a lot of work on that. And then we did a lot of work through the middle with using our seamers to stop the game and our spinners to attack the game. So I suspect that's sort of how they'll be thinking, and I think that's how you've got to attack a tour of the West Indies. I've got no doubt that Australia will get enough runs. That goes without saying. It's going to be getting 20 wickets that's going to be the challenge.
Yeah, there's a little bit where England went wrong, but we didn't get enough runs either. We've all always seemingly got a half an eye on the Ashes over here. Mickey, as an impartial observer, if you like, who would you make favourites?
Oh, without a doubt, Australia are getting their favourites. I think England at the moment are playing a very tentative brand of cricket, and they obviously need to make some decisions and give some stability to the structure. Because if they don't give stability to the structure, the results will be the same, because everybody will go into self-preservation mode and look after their own place.
Yeah, fair enough. If I could finish, Mickey, with a few questions about your own career. If I could go back to where it all started for you, why cricket? Sort of, how did you get involved in the game?
Look, I got involved in the game from a young age because my dad played. So my dad was playing even before I went to school. I'd go and watch my dad play all the time, and I just was always picking up his cricket bats and hitting. And so I just grew up with cricket, but I loved it. I just loved it, you know, along the way.
And who are your idols, or perhaps the players you looked up to when you first started playing a little bit more seriously, perhaps?
My idol was always Barry Richards. I grew up in Durban. Barry Richards was playing for Natal, so I always watched Barry Richards and wanted to bat like him. He was my idol growing up.
they wouldn't want a bat like Barry, eh? Goodness me, he was some player. what would you say would be your most memorable moment in cricket? Maybe pick one as a coach, one as a player for me.
One as a player was certainly getting man of the match in a domestic final for... I played at the back end of my career for Griqualand West, and it was one of the 11 provinces, if you like, before the franchise system came in place, and always given no hope. So playing a role and being man of the match in a final and giving them their first senior trophy in South African cricket was quite special for me. And then I loved my 5 years that I had with Free State. We won 7 trophies in 5 years. That was fantastic. I loved every minute of that. I've got 3 real highlights, well, 4 real highlights, I guess. And that was winning in England in 2008 with South Africa. The first team since Unity to win in England. Winning in 2008-2009 in Australia, becoming the first South African side to win in Australia since Unity was first time ever a team had won in Australia. South African team was a real highlight. The 4-3-8 game will always stand out as probably the most memorial day ever in my coaching career. And then the fourth one was being the first foreign coach to coach Australia. That was really special.
Great stuff, Mick, and I'm sure you'd love to make some more great memories in the Caribbean later this year.
I really would. I've got a real passion with Jamaica, and I can't wait to get out there again.
Mick, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Your enthusiasm and love for the game just comes across beautifully. Absolutely,
pleasure
talking to you
as well.
Thank you.